Okay, we're going to begin with the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah is continuing about the Cheskat Chaim, that we assume that somebody is still alive. So the Mishnah begins, Hamavema Otet HaKohen, someone who lends money to a Kohen, Veta Levi, or to a Levi, Veta Ani, or to an Ani, Liot, Mafrisha Lehem Mechalkan. So then the payment or the repayment alone is done through their portion, either in the Trumot, the Maisrot, or the Maiser Ani, that each one is entitled to the Kohen, the Levi, and the Ani, through what their entitlement is through the Matnot Kahuna, Matnot Leviya, or Matnot Aniyim, that's going to repay the loan. So Mafrish Alehem, he can separate out from his produce the amounts that belong to these individuals or from others. He can take produce from others that are intended for these people. Becheska Shehen Kayamim, right? Under the Chazakah that they are still alive. I mean, the underlying assumption, again, is that they are alive. And therefore, he continued to be Mafrish on their behalf. Even though they're not in front of us right now. We don't worry that either the Kohen passed away or the Levi passed away, or that the Ani became wealthy and therefore he's no longer entitled to Matnot Aniyim. Now, if they did pass away, these individuals, after this deal was struck, then he must get permission from the Yorshim to separate out these and take it on behalf of the father, because Shein chov zeh mutal aleihem lifroa. I mean that Yorshim are not obligated to pay the obligation of the chov of their father. And since they're not obligated to pay the chov of their father, he cannot go and take it without permission. Im halvan bifnei beit din, if he does it in front of beit din, eino tzarich litol rishut min haYorshim. If he does it in front of beit din, this whole setup was done in front of beit din, then he does not need to get permission from the Yorshim. Why is that? So Rashi points out over here, the ish koach beit din, because Beit Din has the power to impose this obligation on the entire Shevet. This is one of the Takanot HaShuk, in order to create, to make it, make loans available, to make credit available, to keep the marketplace open. God made such a Takana that people would only lend if they knew that there would be liquidity in the end and they would get repaid. And so in order to facilitate that, the Beit Din set it up that even though technically he should not be able to continue to collect once it falls to the Yorshim, nevertheless, he is able to do this if it's done in front of Beis Din. So now the Gemara questions this. How is it that he can collect the funds for the Kohen, the Levi, or the Ani, even though it never went to their hand? Meaning that, don't they first have to accept their Matanot Kuna, or Matanot Leviya, or the Matanot Aniim, and then afterwards pass it along to this Baal Abayit, who is lending them the money, to the Malva, to the creditor, to pay him? How is it that he directly takes the money without them being involved? So Amar Rav, so we have three answers in this. Rav says, we're dealing with a situation where it's someone who is regularly gives it only to this Kohen, to this Levi, or to this Ani. And since he regularly gives it only to this individual, then all the other Kohanim or Leviim or Aniim are Mesik Datayu. They leave it alone. They say, forget it. We're not getting anything from this guy. It belongs to this Kohen, this Levi, or this Ani. They assume that he's going to give it to them. Since it's assumed to be theirs, we consider it the equivalent of being theirs, and therefore he can collect, even though they haven't touched it. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel gives the second answer, no, that we can do it by being Mezak Lehem Aydei Acherim. Meaning that someone, we can get a third party to accept it on behalf of the Kohen, the Levi, or the Ani, because Zochin Shadam Shalob Bifanav. And in this instance, once he is Zochin it, then he can hand this person, that third party, can hand it over to the creditor as payment for the credit. And then Ulo Amar Hamani Rabbi Yossi. Now this Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi. Amar Switch Enel Zocheh Kizocheh. That this is one of the unusual cases where the Chameim were Metakein, as Rashi points out, but Makomot Harbe Mipnei Takana Sukein. In many places, the Chameim created Takanot that you can make a kinyan, or you get authority or balus over a certain object, even though mihuchos kinyan, you shouldn't get it. And Rashi has a list or a number of examples. So over here also, even though technically you should not be able to take it without the Kohen getting it first, or the Levi getting it first, or the Ani getting it first, we assume that if Chum made a takana, it's as if it went to them already. It's as if they made a takana, as if they made a kinyan in it, and they took possession of it, and then they are giving it to you. Why did they do this? So again, this is the same reason as before, in order to create a liquidity in the marketplaces and to have the ability to people to transact in a manner that allows for creditors to be assured that they will get repaid. So now, Kulu Karablu Amre. So now we have these three answers. Now the Gemara says, why don't we hold like Rav? Why don't the other two, Shmuel and Ula, why don't they like Rav's answer? Because Makirei Loktani. In the Mishnah, it never says the word Makirei Kohanim. It doesn't say that. The others, Rav and Ula, don't hold like Shmuel, but Mizaka Loktani. The Mishnah never says Mizaka. Because Ula Lami Lo Amri, and Rav and Shmuel don't hold like Ula, because Yechida Lo Mekminon, because they don't want to set up the Mishnah like a Das Yachid, that's Rabbi Yossi. But they rather also set it up like the Chachamim, despite the fact that the Locha is like Rabbi Yossi, and Shmuel Paskin is like Rabbi Yossi. Nevertheless, when we have the ability to send it up like Kuli Alma, we'd rather do that, even though the Locha is Ki Rabbi Yossi. Now, Tan Rabbanan. So now we're going to have a Braisa that's a little more explicit than our Mishnah, and then within this Braisa, we're going to have little pieces that the Gemara is going to explain. Tan Rabbanan. Hamal ve'ma'ot et ha-Kohen. Someone who lends money to the Kohen, ve'levi ve'tani, yod mafrish aleihem michalkan, in order that he will be repaid through their portion, again, for the Kohen in the Truma, the Truma's Meiser, the Levi in his Meiser Rishon, and the for the Ani in his Meiser Ani. Mafrish aleihem chezka chehen kayamin. He can be mafrish, assuming that they're still alive, or again, that the Ani has not become rich. So that's the same as our Mishnah so far. Uposeki mahem kishar hazot. Now, even when, at the time of the transaction, he can set up with them that what the price will be for the produce that he takes out. What will be the equivalent dollar value of the produce that he takes? And even if he takes it at a very low value, I mean, he sets the value below market, that it still works. Ve'en bo mishum ribis. And that's not considered to be interest, meaning because if he's taking below market prices, then if he goes and resells it at market prices, he's actually collecting more than the value of the loan. Nevertheless, it's not considered ribis. Why? That the Gemara will explain. Ve'en shvi'it misham tato. And shvi'is does not knock it off. I mean, this loan is not considered to be subject to shvi'is. I mean, that shvi'is meiser of the shmitat ksafim that happens at the end of the seventh year. So it's not subject to shmitat ksafim. V'imbalach zor, enu chuzer. And if they make this transaction, it cannot be repealed. I mean, you can't go back on it. Again, we'll see if it happens. Nityashu abaylim. If the balim give up on it, ein mafrishin alehem. Then you can't separate it. Lefishei mafrishin alavut. We're not mafrish when one gives up or when it's considered lost. So now the Gemara is going to dissect each of these. Amamar. Paseki mahem kashar azot. What do you mean? They set up the transaction, so they set the price in the future of what the value of this produce will be. So pshita, why can't they do this? Kamash malan, this comes to teach us. Apo pish lo pasak, kamisha pasak dummy. Even if they did not agree to that price, the price that will be set will be the lowest market price at that time when it comes to collecting the money. So he doesn't even have to state it explicitly. That's an implicit tonight in this. Tosos even points out here that even if they wanted, they could set the price below the future market price, the lowest price out in the market. And that, of course, does not happen by itself. But if they explicitly state that it will be below the lowest price, so they set a price that is below the lowest market price when they come to collect it, that will still work. The Ainbo Mishum Ribis. Why is there no ribis? Why is there no interest on this? Meaning that here is this creditor who's collecting fruits that are worth, say, $100, and he's saying that I'm only going to give you the value. We agreed that this amount of fruit would only be worth $50. So he's getting a repayment of $50. He can go back selling to the market for $100. So only if $50 of the loan has been repaid, yeah, he's getting $100. So the additional $50 looks like ribis. My time, why is it? Came into Chilatle Loayagile. The point is why? Because if he doesn't have it, he doesn't have to give it to him. Meaning that there's a possibility, since the whole repayment alone is through the trumos and maestros that are found in the field of this individual, if the field is not producing anything, for some reason there's something happened that year, and there's a famine or something, and the field doesn't produce, since in that case, when he doesn't have it, he doesn't get anything, meaning there's no value associated with it, and he gets credit for it. So therefore, if he does get it, then he can take it at whatever price. Meaning because the ribis is only when it works in the favor of only the one individual, meaning that there's no risk. He's not taking any risk here. He says, look, you're going to repay me this plus more. But that's not the case here. He is at risk here because no matter what price they set, there's a possibility that he will get nothing, that he will get none of the produce out of this field. And if there's no produce out of his field, then he gets zero, even though that's going to deduct from the loan or the value of the loan here. So since he can lose or make, that's not considered to be ribis, that's considered to be a business transaction. He's taking risk. A risk which has two sides to it. If the risk has two sides, that is not ribis. Vein shmit misham tato, and there's no shmita ksafim does not apply to it. Why? The lo yikrinim ve lo yigos. Because the only time that you have shmita ksafim is when you are not allowed to go and press the malved to go get the loved, press the debtor to get your loan. Over here, you can't press the debtor at all because they've already agreed to how the prepayment's going to work. The repayment's going to work by the field. The produce of this field will give off their share of the matanot, and that'll be the repayment. So if there's no way he can go after the loved, there's no loy ghost. If there's no loy ghost, then there's no shmitak safim. The same way where if someone gives over his loans to Beis Din, we don't consider it to be that there's no shmitak safim, because over there again, there's no problem of loy ghost. He can't press the debtor because they're in the hands of Beis Din. Beis Din controls the issue. And if he wants to retract this transaction, he can't do that. The only one who can't go back on the transaction is the balabayit. But the kohen with the balabayit in balakzor chozer, the kohen can reverse his position. Why? Balabayit can't reverse himself because he gave the money to the kohen. Now, was the kohen the kohen had no obligation to do any mashiach or any kinyan because there's nothing for him to make a kinyan on. So therefore, from the tzad of the kohen, he's done the complete transaction, and therefore the balabayit can't reverse it. But in the other way around, the kohen can reverse his position with regards to the kohen can reverse his position with regards to the balabayit. Why is that? Because the kohen can say, listen, I gave you, I was mezake you my peirot, and you need to make a kinyan on them. And since you haven't made a kinyan on them yet, that's a failure in the kinyan, that's a lack of kinyan. And when you have a lack of kinyan, then there's no finalization or finality to this transaction, and therefore I can reverse my position until you've made a kinyan on these peirot. The Tanan, we have a Mishnah, not on the ma'ot, v'lo mashachimenu, if he gives him money, but he does not make a kinyan, v'lo mashachimenu, peirot yachol lachzorbo, in this instance, he can go back and be chozer on it. Now, the next part of that braisa says, nityashu abalim, emafrish alehim, lefish emafrishin ala avut. Right, if the balim give up on the field, then they can't be mafrish on it, because we're not mafrish on avut. So the Gemara says, pshita. Once he gives up, once he has yeyush on the field, then of course he can't go in later on and try to collect the maestros on him because he gave up. He says, you know, whatever, I assume I'm not going to get repaid on this loan because the field got washed over by a flood. So they got washed over by a flood and there's no way I'm going to get paid, so he gives up on the loan. So then later on, for some reason, the stuff grows anyway. He can't go and collect then because he's already had yeyush on the loan. So the Gemara says, of course, that's the case. And the Gemara says, pshito, lo, tricho de akun. No, the case where the stalks had already come up. I would think because the stock came up, that's already considered enough that he already has his mind on it. Kamash Malan, no, that if he thinks it's gone, if he's miyayish from it, then it's yeyush legamre, even if some of the stuff had already started to grow before he had yeyush on the field. Right. If a person lends money with the repayment coming through their matnot levi or matnot kuhuna, and he did it in Beis Din, umetu, and then they pass away, mafrish alem b'chezkat oto ashevet. And he can be mafrish with the chazak of that shevet, meaning the shevet Levi or shevet Kuhun. I'll explain this in a second. V'etani, if he lent an ani b'beis din umeit, mafrish alav cheskat aniyei Yisrael. Then he's mafrish on it with the chazak of the other aniyei Yisrael. So what's the problem over here? The problem is that once the person passes away, then who's entitled to these matanot over here? I mean, these matanot kuhuna or matanot levia really belong to the whole shevet Levi, or belong to the whole shevet kuhuna. When it comes to matanot aniyim, they belong to the aniyim as a whole. So how is it here? When the other person's alive, we have the methodologies or the vehicles by which the person can get hold of this maestros trumos or maestros or the maestro ani, because he's alive, he's entitled to these matanot. So either we said it was mezakai the achirim, but makirav, or it's Rabbi Yossi, who says this was Takana Tashuk from the Chachamim. But once they're dead, what can we do? How can he take possession of something that nobody, that doesn't belong to this Kohen anymore, doesn't belong to this Levi anymore? They're dead. So they're not entitled to it, so how can he take possession of it? He's really stealing from the other Kohanim, stealing from the other Levim, or stealing from the other Aniyim. That's what Gemara says, that we say that he can connect or take possession of it when he does this in Beis Din, b'chezkat oto shevet. So Rashi, if you look in Rashi, what's oto shevet? Somebody who is a relative of theirs is going to inherit them. And all of them get a, you know, have some sort of share in maestros. So then he will withhold the maestros that goes to the Levi or the Truma that goes to the Kohen. Meaning that since he has relatives that will inherit him, those that inherit him will be entitled to it. And then he'll make collection on it based on those inheritors. So since this is in Beis Din has the ability to force the Yorshim to repay it. We saw again, this is to, they force them to repay it in order to have Takana to Shuk, in order to make sure that there's liquidity in the Shuk. And therefore they said, even if he passes away, another one of his relatives who is entitled to this Maestros, or entitled to the Shuma, this person will take it on their, you know, on their account. And therefore he'll be repaid. And then bechezkat ani yedei Yisrael. What does that mean? Rashi says, "Hakalekmar bechezkat yorshim." You can't talk about inheritors of the ani because shema yorshim ashirim, because maybe they are rich. Maybe his yorshim or somebody's a relative of his is wealthy. Aval bechezkat shariyanim yafrish viakvein. He can be mafrish them based on the other aniim. Why is that? The whole b'takanat aniim who? Since this is to the benefit of the aniim, because the people would be willing to lend money when they know they can repay through Meister Ani. Nechilu the chol aniye Yisrael. Therefore, it's good for all the aniim. Sheidad zunu heged b'Yisrael. That this process should be done in Yisrael. G'day sheimtzu malvim lahem kishitzarchu, so that it will be readily available funds to lend to the poor people when they need it. So what do you see from here? You see from here that when he does it in Beis Din, even though this person's not around anymore, the Kohen, the Levi, then he's not around anymore, still we say that the Kohen and the Levi, I guess whoever's Yoresh them, whoever's their relative that's Yoresh them, then you're Mafresh on their behalf, and then you take it anyway. Why? Because that's the Takanat Beis Din, that we want to allow for these loans to take place, and therefore when you do it in Beis Din, you're entitled to ensure that you get repaid by assigning it to one of his relatives, and by assigning it to one of his relatives, then you can collect it. Now with the Aniyim, you can't assign it to a relative because there's a possibility that the relative is rich. So over there, the Gemara says, no, we do Bechezkat Aniye Yisrael. Why is that? Because the Aniyim of Yisrael all want this to happen. Why do they all want this to happen? Because again, people will only lend money if they know they can get repaid. And the way they're going to get repaid is if it's, even when the Ani passes away, you can still collect on this Meiser Ani. So therefore, since it's to the benefit of the class as a whole, the class of Aniyim as a whole, therefore we let him collect it, even though there's no particular Ani who he is collecting it from. So now it's Bechezkat Aniye Yisrael. Rabbi Achai Omer Bechezkat Aniye Olam. Because it says he can collect it on behalf of all the Aniyim of the world. So one Lezman Yaakov says Bechezkat Aniye Yisrael. Rabbi Achai says Bechezkat Aniye Olam. My Binayu. What's the difference between Chezkat Aniye Yisrael and Chezkat Aniye Olam? So Yikim Binayi Aniye Kutim. The Kutim. The difference is these non-Jewish Aniyim. So why? What is this Aniye Kutim? So Rashi says this the Machlokas Betilim is about whether Kutim are Geri Ametim, whether they are true converts, or they are Geri Arayotim. So the Tanakhama believes that they're Geri Arayot. So since they're not Jews, right, he cannot be Mafrish Bishvilam. Right, he can only be Mafrish because of Aniye Yisrael. He can only be Mafrish on behalf of other Aniye Yisrael, wherever they are in the world. On the other hand, Rav Achai believes that the Kutim were Gerei Emet. Since they were good Gerim, then they become like Jews, and since they're Jews, you can be Mafrish on the Kutim. Even if they're Kutim, you can be Mafrish on their behalf, and then still collect it, because they as a class are entitled to Meister Ani, and since they're entitled to Meister Ani, you can collect on behalf. So this was what's over here, that according to Rashi, there's no Nafkamina, because in the end, either you're mafreshit on Aniye Yisrael, wherever they are, or you're mafreshit on Aniye Kutim. Mm-hmm. But according to both of them, you can still be mafresh. But so the Rebbe explains, no, that one is only entitled to, this whole Tokana based in is that you're only entitled to be mafresh to Meister Ani on the Aniyim of your city. Only Aniyim of your city. So therefore, what's the Tokana? So that's the machlokas between them. Is the Tokana that you can only be mafresh on Aniye Yisrael? That you're only entitled to do it with the class of Aniye Yisrael. If there are no Aniye Yisrael in that town besides this individual and he passed away, then you will not be able to take the Meister Ani. On the other hand, Rashi says that you can even use the Aniye Kutim that are in the city, in your city, to be qualified as Aniyim, to be in the class of Aniyim, and therefore if you have Aniye Kutim, they will qualify you to take this Meister Ani. Hesher Ani, if the Ani gets wealthy, ain mafrish alav, you're not allowed to be mafrish on him anymore. V'zaka hala b'mar shebiyado. And the Ani gets to keep, right, whatever he has. I mean, that he got wealthy, he keeps, because the whole deal was set up that he collects from the Meister Ani, and since he's no longer entitled to the Meister Ani, he doesn't get back. So now Gemara says, Rabbanan, Meishna, the Mita, the Abu Takanto. So now you're going to ask me, what do you mean? The whole idea was to create liquidity for the Aniim and to have the creditors get repaid. So how come the Rabbanan went out of their way to create a whole Takana, a whole process by which, even if the Ani passes away, he can continue to collect from the Meister Ani? And yet, over here, when he becomes rich, they have no process for him to get his money paid back. The creditor has no way to get his money back. Why don't they fix it up here so the creditor gets repaid even when he becomes wealthy? So where it says, Mita Shchicha. Mita is people die. That's the normal course of events. Ashirot Lo Shchicha. That people become wealthy, that is not a common occurrence. So Amar Papa, Anu Damri Inche. This is the common saying of people. Chavercha Mit. If people tell you that your friend passed away, Asher, believe him. Itasher, if he tells you your friend got wealthy, lote asher, do not believe him, because again, misa is something that is common, right? Ashirut is not something that is common. Alright, mate, sarich li tol rishut. that if they, our Mishnah says, if he passes away, he has to take Rishut. Tanya, Rebbe Omim, Yorshim Shiarshu. Only if it's Yorshim who inherited. Gemara says, Miyike Yorshim de Loyartei? Which Yorshim don't inherit? I mean, everybody inherits. The Loyart, Ella, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shiarshu Karka, Avlo Shiarshu Psafim. That the case over here is only if the Yorshim inherited land, and not that they inherited money. So Amar Rabbi Yonatan, Rabbi Yonatan says, Heniach Malei Machat, Gove Malei Machat. So it'll depend. How much he can get repaid will depend on how much land he left over. If he leaves over a tiny piece of land, then he can only collect against the value of that land that was left over to the Yorshim. Malei Kardum, if he leaves over a large piece of land, Gove Malei Kardum, then he can collect against the larger piece of land. Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, Afil Heniach Malei Machat, even if there's the tiniest piece of land, Gove Malei Kardum, he can collect as much as he wants. Why? Because, k'maseh d'ktina d'abaya, because there's a case like this in Ksuvos, where the Yorshim had this piece of property, which the creditor came and collected, then they went ahead and redeemed the property back from him, and he went ahead and he was gove the property again. So you see, even with a small piece of property, a creditor can continue to take the, because of his encumbrance and the lien on the property, he can keep taking the property back, even if it's redeemed from him. So even a small piece of karka continue and can allow him to continue to collect. Now the question here is, what is this Gemara going on? So from the header in the Gemara, it seems like it's going on the case of when he passes away, you have to take reshus from the Yorshim. So Tosfos says no, that this is only going on the later case, the case of Beis Din. When are you entitled, according to Beis Din, to collect even without the permission of the Yorshim? That is only what? When the Beis Din, when this Yorshim have karka. Once the Yorshim have karka, then you can collect in Beis Din without asking them permission. That's what Tosfos says. That's Seifakai. The Hilva b'fnei Beis Din ain't directly told Rishut b'nei Yorshim. That he doesn't have to take permission from the Yorshim. That's only when they inherited land. Abal Reisha, but on the place before, the Tani mate directly told Rishut b'nei Yorshim. Lo Matzikai. You can't sit up like that. The Choshu came and Lo Yarshu said directly told Rishut. Certainly, if they didn't inherit anything, of course, right? They can't. You have to get Rishut because why? What are you going to take it from if they don't have anything? Meaning, why should you be? They're not obligated to pay their father's obligations, their father's chovot. And so if they didn't inherit anything, of course they're not obligated to pay their father's chovot. You know, at least if they inherited something, you can say maybe they are obligated or they should. If they should, even though they're not obligated, they should repay their father's loans. But nevertheless, if he doesn't, right, then it's okay. But if they didn't inherit anything, then there's no way to obligate them to repay their father's loan. So Tosfos says it actually goes on the case of Beis Din, this last piece of Gemara, and not on the case of Notel Rishus. I would say the possibility that it maybe even goes on the case of Notel Rishus, which is that you're only, because of this exact issue, only when the Yorshim inherit karka, when they inherit land, do we say that they have some sort of obligation to repair their father's chovot. And since they have an obligation to repair their father's chovot, if you get permission from them, then you can take it. But if they don't inherit land, and therefore they have no obligation to repair their father's chovot, then it doesn't work. I mean, if this whole, even if he takes rishus from them, even gets permission from them, it's not going to work since they're not obligated to repay their father's loans. That's the other maybe a possibility of explaining on the previous piece. Okay, now, Tanra Abanan, Yisrael Shamar Lelevi, Maser Yesh Lecha Biyadi, En Choshishim Lechumat Maser. Yisrael tells the Levi that I have Maser in my hand that belongs to you. You don't have to worry about Chumat Maser Shabo. Kur Maser Yesh Lecha Biyadi, if he says that you have a Kur of Maser, a measurement, a fixed measurement with me, Choshishim Lechumat Maser Shabo. Then we worry about the Chumat Maser Shabo. So of course, what does this mean? So now we're going to have three explanations. My Kamar, what does this statement mean? So Amar Abai, Hachel Kamar, this is what it means. Yisroel Shamar the Levi. Yisroel that says to Levi, Maser Yesh Lecha Biyodi. You have Maser with me. Vehelech Damav. And here, I want to pay you for it. And you have Maser over here, and I want to pay you for it. Ein Choshishim Shema Asau Chumat Maser HaMakom Acher. We don't worry that the Levi now made this Maser that's sitting with you, Chumat Maser, on other stuff that he has at home. He has stuff at home that he has to be Mafish Chumat Maser from. So he says, you know what? I have nine kur at home. There's a kur sitting with this guy over here. So since he has a kur over here, I'm going to make that full kur Trumas Meister on my nine over here. So then I'm fine, and that'll be Trumas Meister over there. Now Rashi says over here he can do this even after the sale is complete, even after the Machro the Levi, even after he sold it to the Levi. Listen to this. Rashi says it came into the Mashach Yachola Zora Levi. Since he never made a kinyan on the Meister that he's buying from the Levi, then the Levi can reverse his position. Even though it's in the possession of the Yisrael already, he doesn't get acquisition of it through his money. Because the Levi never took possession of it to give it back to the Yisrael through money. So So the only way that Yisrael can take possession of it with money is if the Levi already had it in his possession. But since the Levi never took possession of it, the Yisrael can't take possession of it from him. So since this deal is not final, therefore even after you paid the money, the Levi can go ahead and make it through Matmaser. So that's what we're worried over here. So now that's how Abai is explaining it. Amar Abai, Achi Kamari, So Shemar Levi, Maitse Sheish Lechabidi, Veilach Tamav. Take its money. Ein Kosh Shim Shon Soh Matru Matmaser HaMakom Acher. We don't worry that he made it through Matmaser on some other place. But if he gives him the specific amount of maaser that he has, they left him up and then he wants to pay him for it, that even after he pays him for it, why? Because now he knows how much the Yisrael has. When he knows how much the Yisrael has, then we can say that he was mafresh as Trumas Maaser, because he knows how much Trumas Maaser is here, that he can be mafresh against his other stuff. But if he just tells him, I have Maaser here, and he doesn't know the exact value or the exact amount of it, how can he be mafresh as Trumas Maaser? We don't have to be choshesh because he doesn't know how much it is. That's the way Rashi explains it. Tosfos says, how could it be that he can reverse his position after the money is paid? But Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, and says that this is a case here that he does it prior to the purchase. That only that he did it, that the Shema, it says, Ela Yish Lamar, the Shema sold Kodum Kabbalat Adamim, that before he sold it to him, right, then he made it into Trumas Maaser. So that's what the Gemara is going to ask in a second. What do you mean? Why would he sell it to him if he made it Trumas Maaser? So that's what the Gemara's next question is, Atu Berishia Atskinon. Are we dealing with Shoyim over here? The Shafle Dami, Mashavle Trumas Maaser? That they take money and then they make it into Trumas Maaser. So according to Rashi, it means literally that they first take the money and after they've sold the item, they make it into Trumas Maaser. According to Tosfos, it means no, that they take money after. Mishavelu Trumas Maaser is not, you know, after they took the money, but they've already made it into Trumas Maaser. So they reject the explanation of Abaye because we're talking about Rishoyim who transact and then change it into Trumas Maaser after the fact, or even before they sell something that's already Trumas Maaser, that doesn't make sense. So Mishar Shib Rei Ravidi suggests another solution to explain what this statement is. Hachi Kamar, Yisrael Shamar LeBein Levi. Yisrael says, Levi, Masela Avicha B'Yodi. Your father had Meister left with me. Helech Damav, take its money, and I will keep the Meister. Ein Choshishim Shema So Aviv Trumat Maaser. We don't worry that the father made it into Trumat Maaser. Why? Because the father never knew the exact amount of Meister that was, because he only says Maaser B'Yodi. Since he never knew it, we don't worry that his father made into Trumas Maaser or Makom Acher. Kur Maaser L'Avicha B'Yadi, but if he tells him this is the exact amount of Maaser that your father had with me, the Helech Damav, and you should, here's the payment for it, then Choshim Shemas Avich Trumas Maaser or Makom Acher. Then we worry that his father made it into Trumas Maaser because he knew the exact value or the exact amount that was there, and therefore he could have made it Trumas Maaser on another place. So Mar says, "V'chinech should do chaverim l'trom shalom mina mukaf." Since when do we worry about chaverim that are going to be mafresh truma shalom mina mukaf? There's a requirement by truma gedola to be mafresh the truma when it's right in front of you, when everything's right in front of you and together, meaning that they are right next to each other. The truma and the tevel is there, and you mafresh the truma right off the tevel, not from things that are spread out in different locations. So that is a requirement by truma gedola. So Rashi over here, what does it says? What does it mean? Shlo mina mukaf by trumat maaser. Over here it means emma oto shayna be'ein, right? Because Levi can't see it, and if he can't see it, maybe it's not extant anymore. It's not there anymore. If it's not there anymore, he wouldn't have been mafresh trumat maaser without knowing that for sure, for certain, it was there because he's not looking at it. And therefore, if he did it, it is done. But we don't say he does it. Now Tosfos questions this from two perspectives. One is, he says that there's no requirement by Trumat Maaser to be a mafresh min amukaf. There's no requirement. That's only a requirement by Truma Gedola, not by Trumat Maaser. So then Tosfos answers up that and says, you're right, Mido writes it from the Torah, there's no requirement of min amukaf mi Trumat Maaser. But nevertheless, Mido Rabbanon, there still is a requirement of min amukaf. But then he questions the reasoning of Rashi. Rashi says the whole reason here of Mina Mukaf, that you have to do it being in front of you, is because maybe it's not extant anymore and you're mafresh from something that doesn't exist. So he says, well, that's not true, because Mina Mukaf is valid even if it's right in front of you, meaning that even if you have a big field and the stuff is not next to each other and you can see it, nevertheless, you can't be mafresh one or the other because that's considered Lo Mina Mukaf. So we see Lo Mina Mukaf is not an issue of seeing it or knowing that it's there, but it's rather an issue of how being next to each other. They must be physically present next to each other. Well, if that's the case, so what's the problem by Trumat Maaser over here? So Tosfos says, because, like he said before, that since Trumat Maaser is only a Gzeira Derabonon, or a Takanas Derabonon, that you have to do Mina Mukaf, why do you have to do it Mina Mukaf with Trumat Maaser? Because of Atu Trumagdola. That is a Gzeira Atu. Meaning that the reason you have to do mukaf by Trumat Maaser is because by Truma Gedola you must do it. So the Chachamim said, just like by Truma Gedola do it, also do it by Trumat Maaser so you won't mix them up. So again, Tosus believes Trumat Maaser min HaMukaf is only Midrabanan, and it's Midrabanan Gzeru Atu Truma Gedola. Rashi says the reason for a mukaf by Trumat Maaser in general, he seems to say that mukaf is because you don't be mafresh from something that's not there anymore. Because we want you to see it so you know that it's there. Tosus challenges that because he says even if you can see it, if it's not mukaf, it's not physically next to each other, that is not good Trumat Maaser. So again, back to the Gemara. So now we rejected the explanation from Misharshia because we assume this person is not going to take off Trumat Maaser if it's not in front of him. So what's the explanation? Elamar Rashi. Rashi says, Hachikamar. This is how to explain this memra. Hachikamar, Ben Yisrael Shamar Lelevi. This is a Ben Yisrael says to Lelevi. Kaka Marli Abba. My father told me, Maaser Lecha Biyadi. You have Maaser by my hand. His father said to him before he passed away, you have Maaser in my hand. Oh, Maaser Lecha Biyadi. Or your father had, he says to Lelevi, your father had Maaser with my father. Right, so choshishin le trumat maaser shibo. Right, ain choshishin. Over there, we don't worry about, there we worry about the trumat maaser that's in it. Meaning that we worry about the fact that there's still trumat maaser in this maaser rishon, and it was not mufrash. Why? Kevin de lo kayit, since we didn't know the exact amount, lo avem mitakim le balabayit. The balabayit would not have fixed it. Meaning that he wouldn't have taken off that amount, because he didn't know how much was there. As Rashi points out over here, kevin de lo hiskir b'tzavato, when he told over to his son before he passed away, skum midah shem lo yodeh kamayish, right, that he didn't give him, since he never mentioned an exact amount of maaser that was there, then if he doesn't know how much there is, then he couldn't have been mafrish trumat maaser. So we don't assume that the balabai took off the trumat maaser on behalf of the Levi, and that this maaser rishon is just maaser rishon. We assume, no, that this whole pile here is maaser rishon, and still needs to have trumat maaser mufresh from it. So then when this yoresh of the father gives it over to the Levi, or gives it over to the Levi's son, he has to then be mafresh trumat maaser. On the other hand, if he says, kur maaser lecha biyadi, that you have a kur maaser, my father told me that you have a kur of maaser with me, or he says, kur maaser l'avicha, or kur for the Levi's father was with me, then ain chosheshin the trumat maaser. In that case, Shabbat, we don't worry about the trumat maaser, kevin dekayit tikune tekane balabait. Since the balabait specified how much maaser rishon there is, then we can assume that he also was mafrish the trumat maaser from it, because he knew the exact amount, and he wouldn't leave this maaser rishon lying around forever, but just with that, taking out the trumat maaser, because trumat maaser has a chivim misa b'day shemaim, and therefore he was mafrish the trumat maaser from it. So when he gives it to the Levi now, the Levi will not have to take off of this amount trumat maaser. We'll assume that it's only maaser rishon, the trumat maaser was already taken off. Now, the Gemara says, there's an underlying assumption in the position of Rav Ashi, which is what? That the balabayit, that the owner can take off trumat maaser from the maaser rishon. The maaser rishon really belongs to the Levi. If it belongs to the Levi, then it's the entitlement of the Levi to take off the trumat maaser. So why can a balabayit take it off? So that's the Gemara's question. Since when can the balabayit take off the trumat maaser? That's the Levi to do it. So even if he knows the exact amount, why is the balabayit taking off the trumat maaser? So when it says in, you can take off, a balabayit can take off trumat maaser. Why? Because it's Abalazar ben Gamlahi. So Abalazar ben Gavi in the Tanya, Abalazar ben Gamla Omer, v'nechshav lechem trumatchem. So this is by trumat maaser, it says that it will be nechshav lechem trumatchem, right? So it says by that pasuk, v'nechshav trumatchem k'trumat goren, so that the trumat maaser will be like the regular truma. So they compare trumat maaser to truma. So b'shtei trumot ha-katuv midaber. Pasuk is talking about two trumot, acha truma gedola, v'acha trumat maaser. There's a hekesh between truma gedola and trumat maaser. And what is that? Kishem she truma gedola nitelet be'omeid uvamachshova. Right, so that, just like truma gedola can be taken off by estimate. You don't have to measure the exact amount to take off the truma. Right, because truma, midah writes, you only have to take off one thing. The chamim established that it's either 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th. So here you're going to take off the 2% for the truma. We don't make you go and measure it and do it exactly. Because even if you don't get it exact, midah writes, you're already patur. Then, uve machshava, and Rashi points out, we can do machshava, means that you don't actually physically have to separate it out. You can even think in your mind that that's truma on that side of the pile, and when you think that's truma on that side of the pile, that's good truma, and you can eat from the other side of the pile. So too, kach trumat maaser. Even though trumat maaser is an exact measurement, that is 10%. So even though it's 10%, it's compared to truma gadola, therefore it's nitelet ba'omeid. You can still do it by estimate. You don't have to measure it exactly the maaser rishon to take off the trumat maaser of 10%. You can do it through an estimate. Rashi says you can do it. Tosfos says it's even a mitzvah to do it through an estimate. Why is it mitzvah litrom min ha'umad? Right? It's even why is it to better to do it than estimate? It also says, even by Truma and Truma Master. Why? Because when a person's worried, when they do it by estimate, they're going to be worried they don't get enough. And they're going to overestimate. They're going to do it by Anyofet. So they're going to exceed the amount they need to give. So by doing it by Umad, we assume that the person will end up giving more than he should, rather than the exact amount. Right? And so too, by Truma Master, you can do a Machshova. You can even, in your mind, you can put, say, one portion on the side. That portion is considered Truma Master and the Maaser Rishon, and then you can eat the other part of the Maaser Rishon, even though you haven't physically separated it. And just like the Baal HaBayit has the right to take off the Truma Gdola, from his Tevel, he's the one who's entitled to take off the Truma Gdola to give it to a coin. So too, he has a right to be mafresh trumas master from the maaser rishon, even though the maaser rishon belongs to the levi. Because of this hekish between truma gedola and trumas maaser, therefore trumas maaser has certain qualities to it that is like truma. Even though it has an exact measurement of how much you do, you still do it by estimate. You can do it with machshava. That Rashi says we don't learn that out from the hekish, but rather because the pasuk says v'nechshav lachem trumatchem. It says it in the plural and says v'nechshav by both of them, by Truma Gdola and Trumat Maaser. And also, just like the Baal HaBayit tells to take off Truma Gdola, the Hekesh of Trumat Maaser tells you can also take off Trumat Maaser from the Maaser Rishon. Now, you also can't, the Tosa says we can't compare Trumat Maaser to Truma Gdola and say, well, just like Truma Gdola, you can, that one thing, any little amount is good midoraisa. By Trumat Maaser, it's specific, it says 10%, you can't say that. But, on the other hand, if you want to add on more, that you can do. Just like by Truma Gedola, you can add more than the minimum min haTorah, so too by Trumas Maaser, you can add on more than the minimum 10% of the Torah, and that will be considered Trumas Maaser. All right, we'll stop here.